11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the Championship version of the League podcast, available on Audioboo at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's also available on the72.co.uk, which I recommend if you're a Football League fan, which you probably are. And you can also subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. You'll find the League 1 and League 2 version with Sam Ashu from the72.co.uk, and I am introducing you to our Championship man now, Peter Farries.
Hello. Hi. Everyone, how are we all? Very I'm good. Fine, thanks for asking. Light.
Great, let's get stuck in, shall we? Yeah, TV great. Game on Saturday is a 12:15 kickoff as usual, 9-5 Sheffield Wednesday, 21-10 the draw, and 13-8 for Nottingham Forest. These two teams have had largely similar starts to the season. I think Sheffield Wednesday have had one more draw than Nottingham Forest, but both in good form, both still in the League Cup and both in the top six. Nottingham Forest are top with 10 points from four games in the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday are sixth with 8 points from their four games. Goals as well being scored by both sides. Forest in particular, Asen Belonga's got four, Antonio's got four, Fryett's got two. Both this should be 2-2 or something, Pete, shouldn't it? I mean, any chance we get a 0-0, a terrible cancelling out game?
I'd be surprised. The only thing you'd say is that Sheffield Wednesday have had a couple of sort of low scoring draws as well, haven't they? But yeah. Look, you're not looking for a second away from a sort of a pro sort of goals market here. I completely agree. You mentioned a couple of players, Britt, Asen Belonga, and I'm just having to press my nose here while I'm almost about to sneeze. Crisis averted. Oh, right, now, Nuiu and Asen Belonga. 3-4 for Asen Belonga, 4-5 for Nuiu. Scoring goals, looking very, very good indeed. You can get both of them to score in the match. So the anytime goal scorer is doubled here. 5-1.
Nice.
And that's not a bad price.
No.
You could also have a little look at Mikel Antonio, of course, his former club where he was very well liked was. Blah, 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 blah. And it's very, very interesting. Sixth versus first. Two sides who are playing superb football, of goals chalked in their side. Sheffield Wednesday were superb against Middlesbrough. The 3-2 flattered Middlesbrough no end. Stuart Pearce has spoken this week about the headache he's got. He made 7 changes in the week for their cup tie, and they were very, very good indeed and won 2-0 over another Championship side despite those changes. So at the moment, these are two sides who look fantastic. Sheffield Wednesday, a side with problems in terms of depth over the last couple of years, maybe need a winger, maybe need two wingers, but generally speaking, you know, people like Elan can step up and do something. So they've got a really good squad. And Stuart Gray, I mean, obviously didn't have the best of times at Southampton, did he? And wasn't there for very long. And he somehow pulled out at Sheffield Wednesday a phenomenal managerial record. He's done so, so well from the position he took them and found them in, really. Now, in terms of outrights, to coin a phrase, I find this a very difficult game to call. There is no question. I do quite like the look of going down the middle for the draw. But then if I fancy goals, sometimes that makes me a bit more nervous about the draw. My favourite bet in this game, though, is penalty awarded in the match, yes, at 100-30.
Interesting.
In these last two games, there have been 4 penalties in total. So if you look at that as a whole, there was 2, of course, Sheffield Wednesday against Middlesbrough. You know, Nottingham Forest have had a couple as well now in their matches. I felt 100-30 with that kind of record in a difficult-to-call game, it's quite a good price and quite a good way in. Very difficult game to call. Very exciting game to call. Two teams both looking very, very good at the moment.
Yeah, very good. Let's move on to Derby versus Ipswich. Derby are priced up at 4-5. The draw's 5-2. Ipswich 7-2. Derby, well, made mincemeat of Fulham in their last home game, beating them 5-1. And that just adds to a really good home run, spanning the summer, of course. Last 15, they've lost 2, drawn 1 and won 12. Ipswich's away record in the corresponding fixtures, 15 games, lost 7, drawn 4, won 4. So it's quite evident that 4-5 is a fair price. Chris Martin back in the goals. One Chris Martin scoring with Jennifer Lawrence, and the other one just keeps scoring for Derby. Pete. 2-4 now, and still odds against.
Don't get that first reference, but
Chris Martin, Coldplay.
Yeah, no, I know who those two games. People are, but are they together now?
Yeah.
Are they? Oh, okay.
Jennifer Lawrence.
She's okay.
Favorite of mine.
Is she? Okay. As you're 40
old,
years old.
That's an old man.
You're 40 years old.
Don't mean
anyway,
that.
Look, yeah, you know. Let's move on. Yeah. Chris Martin, of course, the other thing about him.
I meant in acting, by the way. Yeah. Not...
Former Ipswich man, of course. Former Norwich man against Ipswich.
See, now you're...
Ah, damn it.
Jennifer Lawrence.
You did me. Of course, so that could add a little bit for Chris Martin. He's been in good goal-scoring form. Derby have started fine. 3 games at home this season in all competitions. 3 wins. They've invested well. They've kept the key players, people like Will Hughes, for example. And it looks, at the moment, this price, 7-10, is a very, very good outright price. Ipswich won 6 games away from home last season, which isn't horrendous. If you're looking at away wins, it's kind of mid-table in last season's championship. It's not brilliant, it's not terrible, it's just kind of, they've done okay. But they didn't really find away games on the whole last season very easy at all. They've lost at Reading, they scraped a draw against Birmingham, and it was a scraping. Now, a scraper is, of course, not as bad as losing, but it's still not a particularly convincing performance. And they needed that Christoph Berra juice there, didn't they, for him to get back into it and for them to get back into it. Mick McCarthy said he needs recruits and he's waiting on the loan market, basically. Him talking about the end of the transfer window and also, you know, Premier League clubs with their Premier League players back from, you know, the Royal Cup rest that they've had. It's that point when they will start to analyse who they want to keep, who they want to loan out. And that's when Mick McCarthy says he wants to strike. So I keep looking at this and thinking, well, Ipswich haven't been great away from home. Derby have been good at home, even though, you know, there's been a solid start from both overall. I don't think Ipswich have had a terrible start to things. That loss, of course, in the Norfolk-Suffolk battle will hurt them a little bit. But there's a couple of markets I really liked here. Derby by 1 goal at 13-5. Both of their league home games would have landed by a goal so far.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Draw Derby at 7-2. Landed in both of the Derby home games in the league as well. And 76th minutes of full time. Every single one of the games so far at Derby has had a goal in the 76th minute till the full time.
Interesting.
Even money, that. I don't think Ipswich get battered, which is why I've played the by a goal. But at the moment, certainly, I mean, a journalist I know who works in the area of Ipswich was saying he thinks confidence a little bit low at the moment. It's just a little bit low at the moment. But, you know, they're not going to be in any kind of bother come the end of the season.
Yeah.
But they're certainly in a little bit of trouble at the beginning of the season. And ultimately, if you just want an outright shout for your sixfold this weekend, I think Derby have got to be one of them.
Yeah, it does look nice, doesn't it? Leeds United versus Bolton next. Yes, Leeds United. Every week now, the 72.co.uk will tweet out and ask for bets from you, the listeners, and their readers, of course. We had a couple this week. We only started this week, so we didn't expect to have many. But a nice one from Bacon Bantam, I'm guessing a Bradford fan, who saw his team beat Leeds in the week. One of the biggest prices in play, by the way. Bradford were available at a colossal price at 1-0 down with minutes to go, of course. He wants a price on Leeds to get a red card and lose this weekend, which is a lovely market, which we don't do, but I'm going to suggest that to the traders, Bacon Bantam, because if you could have to suffer a red card and win, lose or draw, you know, I think that's a nice market.
Yeah, it's a clever way in.
Haven't got that, but we've got some team specials.
Yeah, Bacon Bantam, but very quickly, that of course is something he'll know as a Bantam happened in the week, isn't it? So straight away, I mean,
3 sendings off already this season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We've got some team specials. If you go to the William Hill website, go to football and click specials at the top, you'll see halfway down we've got these markets. How many managers will Leeds have this season? Pre-season I wanted this market, they didn't put it out. I wanted 3. Now you can, these are the bets. 2, 13-8. 5 or more, 2-1. 3 is 11-4. 4 is 7-2. 3 is perfectly doable. 1 already. You point another one. Doesn't go well. New year, when the you know, they're out there maybe struggling down the bottom of the table, you get another one. The other markets... how many red cards will Leeds get this season? Which kind of ties into Bacon Bantams. 11 or more is the favourite, 13-8.
And they've got 3 already.
More. 9 or 10, 9-4. 7 or 8,
11-4.
Four
so far. They've got 4 so far.
5 or 6, 9-2. Exactly 4. This includes the Championship, playoff, and FA Cup matches. Above market includes 4 so far. Rescinded red cards will not count as a red card. So that's an interesting one for you to look at. Massimo Cellini to officially announce that he is the manager, head coach of Leeds.
No one happened.
No 1-8, yes, 92.
For all of his 22 years at Cagliari, I think it was 36 in 22, he didn't he never took, I don't think he ever took control in that respect.
Just one game.
Yeah, but even then, yeah. I think that's going to be. I like that three. The manager's 11-4. I think that's quite good.
Mm. Will the next appointed manager, head coach of Leeds, last 70 days? Yes, 1-8. No, 9-2. Obviously, that's around Hockaday's spell. Will Massimo Cellini still own Leeds United on the first day of 2015-16? Yes, 1-20. No, 8-1. And where will Leeds finish in the Championship 2014-15? And then you've got a whole range of different. Positions to finish in 16th to 18th is the fav at 11-4 with 22nd to 24th joint favs, 3-1 for 19th to 21st, 13th to 15th is 9-2, 7th to 12th is 5-1, and 1st to 6th is 12-1. I like that 7th to 12th actually, Pete, 5-1. I think if they get a good manager in and get a bit of stability, then Leeds can go, well, it doesn't take that much to finish 12th and higher in this division, does it?
Well, my personal opinion would be that I don't think they go down.
No.
But I think they have a horrible season. I'd be looking toward the bottom end, but just before relegation, probably, for me, Lee. That's where I would put it. I think they will survive because, I mean, you look at what he did at Cagliari, and actually, more often than not, Cagliari, they managed to keep ticking over. Certainly, you know, in the last few years of Chilino's tenure there, even though he was chopping and changing managers all over the place, they were able to survive. Mm. So that's the one thing I think I'd look at. I don't think they'd go down.
No, but fair enough.
In terms of this game.
Just before we go on to this game, very quickly, next permanent Leeds manager market is out there as well. Now, there's been a lot of money for Rolando Maran, who was, I think he was last in charge at Catania. Is he still at Catania, actually? He may well be.
Former Bari coach, is
Varese, he? Bari, yeah. I mean, yeah. Not particularly well known. I've had to go on Wikipedia to find that information out. I'm not dredging it from somewhere in my lower level Serie A knowledge or anything like that. Steve Clark's 5-1. A lot of Leeds fans would love to see him in charge. Gary McAllister, of course, still lives in the area. 10-1. Benito Carboni, 12-1. Gianluca Festa, 12-1. Neil Redfern, who's in temporary charge or caretaker charge, if you like, is 12-1. Oscar Garcia, another name that's been mentioned, 12s. Chris Hughton, 16s. Chris Powell, 16s. Neil Lennon, 16-1. Neil Lennon, interesting one, because there's a lot of not many Premiership clubs or Premier League clubs seem to be very keen on giving him a job for some reason. Maybe he'll have to go down to the Championship. Paul Clement, 16-1. Can't imagine he'd go to Leeds United from some of the high profile coaching jobs he's had. And then you get up to 20-1 and bigger. But there's some big names there, Pete. You know, the likes of Chris Hughton, would he take a step down having managed in the Premier League? And will anyone want to take this job with Cellini in charge?
It's very difficult. They will. They'll always be, as shown by Cagliari, someone who will have the crack and it's going to be interesting to see how Leeds develop over the next year or so. It's a very volatile market, always, isn't it? The next manager market. But there might be a bit
dream,
of value. Might be a bookie's dream, yeah. But there might be some value on Moran. There might be some value on Gary McAllister, Chris Hughton, for example. If Cellino wants to go down that path. But I think I personally. The interesting one, there's Neil Redfern at 12s. He's taken over already, just obviously for the weekend.
Yeah.
But he is someone that Cellino actually really likes and respects. And if he feels he, you know, has brought in a manager, had to sack him straight away, you know, wanting to save money for whatever reason, it might be that he turns towards Neil Redfern, who is, let me be honest, a very, very good coach.
Yeah.
A very good coach. So I actually think the value in that market is probably Neil Redfern
at 12. I tend to agree with you on that, because if they get a result this week, you know, it's quite clear that whatever you think about this, the Leeds owner, he wanted to give his first choice as coach a chance, because even after the Watford defeat, he said, didn't he, I'm going to give him another chance. And then after the Bradford defeat, he was like, look, I can't keep him on. He obviously thinks he's doing the right thing with the players he's brought in, and if Redfern gets a result with another, you know, and puts it, changes the team slightly, you might think, well, fair enough.
Well, it's not
permanent manager,
it?
Remember, has to be permanent manager.
It's not about recruitment. This is one thing often that managers are judged on as much as results is recruitment. If they push an owner or a chairman or whatever into a couple of signings, a couple of expensive signings, whether it be in agents' fees or whatever, and it doesn't work out. That's often as much pressure as the results not going their own way.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, at Leeds, you don't have the recruitment pressure as such, but Cellino obviously thinks that there should have been better stuff done with the players that he brought in.
Yeah.
I personally think it's personally a bit harsh, but look, that's modern football and the world we're in now.
They've got Bolton this weekend at home.
Yeah.
Bolton, they've had a bit of travelling to do, Pete, haven't they? They went to Brighton, which is a good 5-hour journey, and then they went to Crewe in the... in the League Cup, didn't they? Which isn't that far.
It's not too bad. It's
hard, and then you've got to get back then away at Leeds as well. Three back-to-back away games. Bolton got through against Crewe in the end, but it was extra time, so a late travel back and all the rest of it. Will that count against Bolton, do you think?
It might, but, I mean, if you're a punter right now and you're looking at this game, should these two teams be the same price? That's what you're coming down to. Should they be the same price? And there's this thing last season about Bolton and their away form. And if you actually look at the teams they went to and lost at, okay? Let me just take you through the teams that they lost at away from home last season. Nottingham Forest dropped away, but were at the time a very dangerous side. Blackburn, okay, maybe not great. Brighton, where did Brighton finish last season? In and around the playoffs.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough, it was a 1-0, a narrow 1-0 loss. I was at that game, and they played very, very well, and Borough scraped it through a penalty in the 82nd minute. They went to Wigan. What happened with Wigan last season? Where did they end up? There you go.
Yeah.
They lost at Leicester. They lost at Reading. They lost at QPR, and they lost at Ipswich. So Ipswich made a charge for the playoffs but couldn't get to them. Reading were there for a long time but couldn't quite get over the line. QPR, of course, we know what happened there. Leicester, we know what happened there. Other than that, they didn't lose away from home.
No.
Which, actually, when you look at it contextually speaking, against weaker sides, they didn't actually really, apart from, say, maybe Borough and a bit harsh to say Blackburn because they made a bit of a charge as well, but apart from sides like that, they were actually very decent away from home and didn't really lose. This season they've started with two away losses at Watford, which is a very difficult place to go. They've scored 7 goals in 2 home games, Watford, and they've lost very narrowly to Brighton 2-1 in a game they were 1-0 up in and probably shouldn't have blown it at. Last season they went to Leeds. Leeds were in a bit of a mess this time last year as well when Bolton went there and Bolton won. And did Bolton win? Yes, they won, and they won comfortably. You've got players like Sam Byram, of course, still out, now suspended. You've got a Bolton side who know last time they went there, it was a 5-1 victory. They absolutely obliterated Leeds off the face of the planet in that game, didn't they? And you're offering me the price you're offering me on Bolton here. Now, before I left the house, the draw no bet, which I think is the way to play this, truth be told, the draw no bet here for Bolton was 21-20. Been nibbled in a little bit by the traders to even money, but that for me is still a fantastic price. You can almost right now feel how it's going to be at Elland Road, and Leeds fans are incredibly loyal, but right now, understandably, I would be, if I was a Leeds fan, incredibly nervous, confused, well, it's the last decade, isn't it? You know, it's that kind of almost apathy creeping in some places about it all, and who can blame them after what they've been through? Draw no bet Bolton is even money for this game. And quite frankly, that is a phenomenal bit of pricing. You know, it gives you, of course, the fact that you can get your cash back if it's a draw. And I think that's an important bit of insurance to have. But ultimately, when I was looking at this, that was odds against earlier. Even money now, that's an unbelievable bit of value for me. I worry at the moment about Leeds and the Leeds players, you know, a couple of whom I actually have heard from a little bit. And it's confusion. It's confusion. Yeah.
Interesting game. We'll see what happens there. Watford versus Huddersfield next. Watford doing well. Second in the Championship. 3 wins and 1 defeat. The wins against Bolton, against Leeds, and at Rotherham. They lost to Norwich, of course, with goals from all over the place. So some excellent goal scorers. They're 8-11 to win this one. 18-5 for the Terriers and 14-5 the price for the draw. Huddersfield are 20th, and you worry if that's kind of the area they're going to stay all season. Back-to-back defeats to open the season up. Then they beat Reading, and then they drew with Charlton. What do you think to this one? Can they score at Watford? Because if they score at Watford, it could be a high score this one, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, I've got Watford and over 2.5 goals here at 11-8. Huddersfield, without their captain Lee Peltier, no Smith. There might well be actually no Naki Wells. It's suspected he'll have a late fitness test ahead of the game. 2 home against Watford, and, absolutely spanked goals, haven't they? And look very, very strong indeed. They made a lot of changes in the week as well for their cup game, which they lost to Doncaster, but they made a raft of changes for that match.
Yep.
So again, you can't really read too much into that kind of form there. I think Huddersfield, it's a little bit difficult to back them. I mean, yes, back-to-back without losing, a win and a draw, cracking 2-1 win and a 1-1 draw, of course. But when you've seen the way that Watford, especially at home, are scoring goals, there is no argument here that they've got to be backed. On top of that, the one man you've got to look at, having, of course, A, been a very, very good striker for a couple of years now, and B, a man who's just signed a contract, like a new contract, whether it's an extension or a new contract, I can't remember. But 10-11 any time for Troy Deeney has got to be looked at. It's short, it's shortish. But for the guy, as dangerous as he is right now, That's a handsome looking bet. And to be honest with you, Watford was 3-4 this morning. It's 8-11 now. It's a definite back. Especially, I think Lee Peltier is an important player for them. Their captain, he's obviously out. They've had a bit of good fortune in terms of the Murray Wallace red card, but I still look at Huddersfield and I think, you know, they're a very good side with some quality players within there. But with the form Watford are in at the moment, it's got to be a play. They're hitting three, they're hitting four, and if Huddersfield score, then that'll help towards your overs. If they don't, Watford are more than capable of hitting three, four themselves, as shown. So Watford and over 2.5 goals and 11-8, and just the outright for Watford looks fantastic.
Millwall versus Blackpool next. Millwall are odds on 5-6. It's 12-5 the draw, and Blackpool second bottom in the Championship are 7-2. Only second bottom by virtue of goal difference from Fulham, which says an awful lot about Fulham's predicament at the minute. But they've lost all the games they've played in so far, Blackpool. They haven't been hammered by anyone, really. Nottingham Forest 2-0, and gave a relatively good account of themselves in the second half of that match. They were 2 down at half time, lost by a single goal to nil against Shrewsbury in the Cup. That's not great. Lost by a single goal to Blackburn, a single goal to Brentford, and a single goal to Wigan, Pete. Millwall themselves, two of their wins have come. There's a 2-0 against Leeds and a 1-0 against Fulham, the 1-1 Sheffield Wednesday, 1-0 defeat to Rotherham. Could be a low score at this, couldn't it?
It could be, but I can't. I keep looking at that 5-6 for Millwall and being quite frankly stunned. Yes, things haven't gone 100% their way, like you say, but they beat Leeds, Millwall. 2-0. They obviously lost narrowly at home to Rotherham, but 5-6. I mean, you've had this week Jose Riga come out and actually be publicly quite critical of the club for not, you know, recruiting in the way. Carl Oyston's had to come out and make a few statements himself to bounce that back. It is absolutely fascinating. It really is a fascinating game, this, especially at 5-6. I mean, look at the teams that Millwall have played so far. Yeah. Played Leeds, beat them. Played Fulham, beat them. You know, Rotherham aren't a struggling side. But the ones that they have played, like Leeds, like Fulham, and you've got to argue like Blackpool, are struggling sides. And they've beaten those struggling sides. You get the extra, of course, added X factor of Ian Holloway going back to his former club. But there's only one player there that was there when he was, which is Nathan Delfinaiso, if memory serves me correct. Unlike, say, a couple of other clubs, the leaving wasn't massively acrimonious between himself and Blackpool. And I don't know. That 5-6, Lee. How do you ignore a price like that?
No. It looks
in this kind of situation. I don't know how you ignore a price like that. You know, he's moved players around. I'm almost sort of lost for words, which particularly isn't great for a podcast. But Millwall have been very solid indeed. They've looked very good. It's this. You know, they're going to Millwall as well. It's not like Millwall have to go to Blackpool. They're going to Millwall. With the goals that Blackpool have been conceding as well, I quite like the race of two at 23-20 for Millwall.
Right, yeah.
But ultimately, and with the way I've talked about this, probably don't need to do my nap at the end of the podcast, but 5-6 is sensational for Millwall, in my opinion.
Very nice.
I mean, listen, what's happening to Blackpool right now, where Blackpool are at is very, very sad to watch as a football fan. It just is. But I can't think of a positive argument that would make me want to back Blackpool in this game, can you?
No, not really. No. The only thing is that they don't get beat heavily.
But yeah.
Doesn't mean they don't get beat, does it? Brighton versus Charlton is our final game that we'll look at today. 17-20 Brighton, the draw 11-5, and Charlton 19-5. We've got a few odds on prices this week, and this is probably my least favourite of them. Brighton doing okay. 13th, 6 points from their games so far. They started out with back-to-back defeats, both 1-0 to Sheffield Wednesday and then Birmingham. One at home, one away. Then they beat Leeds, but you know, most people are doing that. And they beat Bolton, who aren't exactly pulling up trees. Charlton, fifth, with undefeated in the Championship so far. And they've got this Angolan player, Angolan striker, Igor Vetekele. who scored 3 in 4. He scored 13 goals in 29 appearances in the for Copenhagen last season. So he's obviously got a bit of a goal scoring touch about him. I'm not sure about it. I mean, what do you think of the odds on price for Brighton?
Don't like it.
Nah,
I don't like it. Yeah, it's intriguing, this one, because I kind of get why Brighton are odds on this time. Unlike, you know, the Millwall price, which I thought was a stunning price, but I would have thought should have been arguably quite a lot shorter. I think this game's priced about right. But don't forget, Charlton have started this season very, very well.
Yeah.
You know, they've been very, very good. Like you say, Vatekele's been in great form, the former Cercle Bruges man. 3 goals for him. The dramatic late goal, of course, against Huddersfield included in that. They're unbeaten away from home with 2 draws. And Brighton, despite improving, have improved against sides low in confidence. Leeds, Bolton. You know, that's who they've beaten. That's who they've improved against.
Yep.
Charlton are not a side like that. They are not a side low in confidence at the moment. They are a side high in it. There was questions from Bob Peters about the loss and certainly the build-up to the loss in the Cup in the week as well. So everything you look at here suggests to me that Charlton are a really interesting way in at 19-5. First and foremost, both teams to score has landed in every Charlton game in the league so far this season. Tick that straight off at 19-20. That is an absolute cracker, I think. Ticks. That one. Good. We've spoken about the overs. Over 2.5 goals is 23-20 now. Absolutely incredible. Tick that off on your list as well. Sam Baldock's gone into Brighton. Great signing from Bristol City. And it really is a great signing, Sam Baldock. But, you know, I'm not a massive fan of immediacy for strikers going straight in. Sometimes they'll bag a debut goal. Sometimes it'll take them a little while to get used to the style. Fair enough. He's going to be a great signing going forward. But I won't look at him in the market at the moment.
Tick.
What I will look at is another draw no bet here. Charlton, I think, are incredible here. Don't forget, they haven't lost so far. They're looking very, very solid. And the teams who Brighton have beaten have been teams low in confidence. Charlton aren't that side at the moment. They're looking really good. And draw no bet Charlton is 9-4. Big price. Very good bet for me.
Very good. It's nap time. So far, on the league podcast...
Put me to bed.
Some people may already be there, to be fair.
True.
So far, maybe, on the various league podcast editions, Sam Ashu has gone for Cheltenham to beat Hartlepool 11-10, which
right,
does look a very nice price.
It does look very interesting.
In League 2. I've gone for over 2.5 goals, Yeovil Barnsley at 10-11 in League
right,
1. And I'm guessing your championship now, but I'll let you do it.
Millwall.
Yeah, 5-6.
Yeah, it has to be. I was thinking about the race to 2 at 23-20 for the nap, but because of the way the Blackpool have been losing games narrowly, yeah, it might be a 1-0 affair, and in which case you'd obviously lose your bet. So it's going to be, have to be 5-6 Millwall as being the price for
fair
me
enough
this weekend. There are some good bets. There's some really good bets. I'm a big fan. I'm going to actually back that Nui Hu and Asun Belonga bet at 5-1. In the early kickoff.
Okay.
I do like the look of that. I really like Bolton draw no bet and Charlton draw no bet. Big fan of both of those. But it has to really come down to what I think the best bet of the weekend is. And in my personal opinion, Millwall should be 1-3, or possibly 1-4 at the moment in this game. They've looked very decent start of the season. Blackpool have got a squad that's not still quite together. They've got a manager who's criticised the hierarchy in the last few days as well. By the way, if you want to have a bet, I would ring up William Hill, go into William Hill's shop, or I'm sure it'll be on the website very soon. Next championship manager to leave. I wouldn't get to be fired. I'd be very clear about your terminology on your bet slip when you go into the bookies. I would not say fired. Have next manager to leave the club, whether it be just walking away or being fired or whatever.
Abducted by aliens.
Possibly so,
aliens.
Yeah.
That covers a multitude of things, doesn't
just
it?
Just have a big holiday.
Yeah.
I would look at Riga at Blackpool.
Right.
I really would. I mean, signs like talking, how he's talked about the hierarchy at the club in the last few days is not always
talk
a positive
well
sign long term, is it?
No, not at all.
You'd probably get a relatively short price, but I think it would be an interesting one. I'd also have maybe a little sneaky look at Adkins. But I think first and foremost for me, the bet of the weekend has to be Millwall at 5-6.
Very good. If you put those three bets into a treble, you're getting just a smidgen under 13-2. But you know, we wouldn't quibble about the differences between that. So good luck with your bets this weekend. Thanks, Pete.
Cheers, good. Thank you.
Don't forget to check out the League One and League Two versions, all available at the same places. You can either go to the72.co.uk and you'll see the playlist at the top right-hand corner of the website. It's available at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's also on Audioboo. And if you subscribe to iTunes, you don't have to do any clicking. They'll deliver it right to your PC, your tablet or your phone every single week, and you'll get all the William Hill podcasts as well. If you're having a bet on any of the championship action, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.